And now the game where we invite accomplished people on to try accomplishing something else. It's called Not My Job. Speaking of accomplishments, our guest today had more of them before the age of 20 than most people do in a lifetime. She was the youngest tennis player to win the French Open, the first of her 9 Grand Slam titles. She was the youngest to be named the world's number one player. She was recently named to the Tennis Hall of Fame, and she is the author of a new memoir called Getting a Grip, Monica Seles. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't
Tell Me. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Such a pleasure to have you. So we're so excited to have you here with us. I wanted to talk about your book, of course. It's your memoir, Getting a Grip. And one of the things you talk about in your book is, of course, the fact that you were one of the youngest champions in the international tennis scene. And that's because, of course, you started very young. You started playing tennis when you were 6, 7 years old, that even younger.
Yes, that's when I first picked up a tennis racket.
Right.
And I realized at age 12 that I was really good, and I was beating girls who were like 18 years old. And that's when I moved to the U.S. and really took up tennis full time. And I turned professional when I was 15 years old.
Right. But how did you know, or how did your father, who was your coach, know how good you were? I mean, was it obvious in the beginning? Were you like punching balls through walls?
I wish, Peter. No, I think I just had a natural talent. And my father was a fantastic tennis coach. He taught me some great fundamentals. I was the first female tennis player to hit hard of both sides and play aggressive style tennis. And, you know, I was a hard worker, so it was a combination of a lot of things. And then at that age, I just realized that, boy, I'm pretty good at this, and this could make, you know, this could be my career one day.
Right. And because if I remember correctly, and I'm not an expert, prior to your arrival, you know, women's tennis was seen as a more dainty thing, and you showed up and just hammered that ball.
And, yes, you're correct.
And all right. And opponents would often fear for their lives, and thus, no, that's not true. But you were an international sports star. I mean, you were incredibly famous. Was that hard when you were that young?
Well, it was just difficult to live in the spotlight. You know, I was 15 years old and I won my first professional tournament. I was number one in the entire world at age 17. So a lot of pressure comes with that. And, you know, people start right away commenting on if I cut my hair too short, they didn't like my haircut. If I gained a few pounds, they commented right about that. So it was, you know, the learning process growing up under the microscope of the media.
Right, right. Your book has extraordinary stories of what you went through, your career, which had some remarkable ups and some remarkable downs and some remarkable struggles, but it doesn't have a lot of gossip. And frankly, I would like you to give us some now.
Oh,
I mean, because come on, beautiful people.
I don't like to gossip around. That's
really
not my style.
Would you at least tell us that there is gossip you're not telling us?
You're trying to fishing around now.
I believe that the International Tennis Tour is just an absolute cauldron of intrigue, sex, betrayal, and you don't have to give me any specifics, but just tell me that I'm right.
That satisfaction.
No, really?
As any job, it's a lot less glamorous from the inside than from the outside. I will tell you that, though.
I'll trade you some NPR gossip.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure you probably believe all kinds of things about the way we live our lives.
Oh, yeah. It looks so glamorous.
Yeah, you know what it's like. Now, I wanted to mention one other thing. You mentioned this in passing in your book. Another thing that you were known for at the height of your playing days was, to put it bluntly, your grunting.
Yes, I know. And I wish I could get credit for it, but unfortunately, Jimmy Connors started it, and he grunted before I was even born. But
right.
I think
you did not invent the grunt. But people talk. I mean, is that something you tried to do, or were you?
Not at all. I've grunted since I was like 8, 9 years old,
yeah.
And I didn't even notice that I was doing it. And I think it was just unusual for people to see a female hit the ball so hard and really give it all into every single point.
Right. Do you ever grunt off the court?
I never noticed even a tennis match. You know, I still get it sometimes. People say, oh, can you grunt for me? And I'm like, I can't. This is just something I do when I hit the tennis ball. It's part of who I am. It's my trademark.
But you don't do it when you're trying to open a really stuck jar, for example. Do you ever play Wii tennis?
No, I've never played Wii tennis at all.
Really?
I mean, I really don't believe it. I like to play actual real tennis the same way that I love to eat real food. You know, I don't believe in diet.
Right. You know, I wouldn't knock it because I find it a lot easier, and you might. It might take some strain off your game.
It works for you as long as that's the way that you can get in shape or stay in shape. More power to you.
Yeah. And I just want you to know, whenever in tribute to you, whenever I play Wii tennis, I grunt.
I love it. Thank you.
I frighten my children. Well, Monica Seles, we are delighted to have you with us, but we're not done with you yet. We've invited you here. We've invited you here for a game we're calling.
I'm sorry. I can't talk right now. I'm chewing my beer.
This year marks the 250th anniversary of the Guinness Brewing Company of Ireland, that wonderful maker of beer. And of course,
I'm in trouble right now.
It's a key contributor, Guinness is, to the great Irish legend of amusing, poetic, rampant alcoholism. So we're going to ask you three questions about Guinness, its history. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl, singing Danny Boy, off key, on one of their home answering machines. Carl, who is tennis legend Monica Seles playing for?
Monica is playing for Lynn Pham of Beaverton, Oregon.
Ready to play?
Hi, Lynn.
There you are.
Yes,
okay,
I am.
Here we go. First question. In addition to a good recipe for beer, Arthur Guinness, who founded the company back in the 18th century, he had a fine instinct for business, as evidenced by what? A, he first legally changed his name from Arthur Flats because he knew Flats beer would not sell. B, instead of building a new brewery, he simply leased an old one for 9,000 years. Or C, he created a cheap disposable keg which the purchaser could discard. Essentially, he invented the first beer can.
I know... Nothing about beer since I don't drink beer, but I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A. He changed his name from Arthur Flats, realizing that wouldn't sound good.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was actually B. He leased the brewery for 9,000 years. The St. James Gate Brewery has been leased by the Guinness Company since it was founded 250 years ago, and that means that in the entire 2.5 centuries of existence, the company has spent about $16,000-$17,000 on rent.
Hmm. Sorry, Lynn.
No, you still got two more chances. Are you going to give up?
No.
Come on. This is three sets. You're down one set. Come on.
There are two more to go.
I just want to say this, and I mean it in the best way. Try grunting.
Uh-huh. Oh, give it a
help.
Toss.
Just
a
little intense here. In some places, Guinness is known for the Guinness Book of World Records as much as it is for their beer. How did the brewery get into the record book business? Was it A, it all started just as bits of trivia they came up with to print on beer coasters, beer mats? B, the head of Guinness created the book to settle a bet about which game bird was the fastest in the world? Or C, it was inspired by an old joke, when you're drunk on Guinness, you're the drunkest man in the world.
I have to go with C.
You're going to go with C?
It just sounds too good to pass up.
It really is pretty good. You're going to go with that?
Yes.
No, it was B, sadly, the bet. In 1951, the managing director of Guinness was hunting in North Slob, Ireland. And he started to wonder what the fastest game bird was, and he realized there was no handy reference to figure that out. And then he said, gee, if there was one, I bet we could sell a lot of them. So they invented the book. All right, last question. You can pick this up. You can pick this last one up. Last question. The ingredients of Guinness are a closely held secret by the company, but we know one ingredient that might be the key to the black stuff's success. What is it? Is it A, fish bladders? Is it B, anthracite coal? Or is it C, hemp?
C.
You're going to go for hemp. It would make sense, I guess, but the answer is fish bladders.
Oh. Wow.
Many other British beers, you see, Guinness is filtered with a substance called isinglass that's made from fish bladders. The stuff is supposed to be removed in the brewing process, but vegetarians, anyway, believe that there are molecular traces of fish bladders in your brew.
Ooh.
Carl, how did Monica do in our quiz?
A rarity, Peter. Monica did not win this when she went down 3-love. So no prize for Lynn Pham.
Let me ask you, Monica, one last question before you go. I know it has been the case with a lot of other retired athletes. I'm thinking of, say, of Michael Jordan or even Lance Armstrong, is that they miss the competition and they try to get back to it one way or another. Is that something you feel? Do you miss the competition?
Not at all.
Really? So you're not like out there and gambling on golf or trying to
not at all. No, I really just enjoy working with kids, with animals, and you know, theater's really just spreading the message of how great of a sport tennis is.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so glad to have you with us. Monica Seles is a world champion tennis player, the winner of 9 Grand Slam singles titles this year. She was elected to the Tennis Hall of Fame. Her new book, Getting a Grip, is out now. Monica Seles, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
In heaven there is no beer, that's why we drink it here. And when we're gone from here, well, our friends will be drinking all the beer. Everybody sing!